From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, two big premieres this week for the Dallas Opera, a new holiday production, and an unprecedented training session for female conductors. We'll start with the state government's latest efforts to stop the resettlement of Syrian refugees here. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton sued federal officials and the International Rescue Committee this afternoon in a federal court in Dallas. The goal? Block six Syrian refugees. The IRC wants to settle in North Texas tomorrow or Friday. Today's lawsuit, the first official legal action in Texas, was filed on behalf of the state's Health and Human Services Commission. It asks for a temporary restraining order to stop this week's resettlement of two families. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, a Republican, has been among the most vocal, more than two dozen governors who say they don't want Syrian refugees to settle in their states. The IRC is holding firm. In a statement yesterday, the nonprofit said, quote, "We will continue to abide by the terms of our agreement and continue to resettle refugees, including Syrians, in Texas." There was a time when recess was part of every kid's day. Today, not so much. A Dallas school board trustee wants to change that. As KERA's Stella Chavez reports, tomorrow the board will discuss whether to make recess mandatory in every elementary school.
Trustee Dan Michke says he's gotten a ton of complaints from parents. They want their kids to have time to be, well, kids, like run around on the playground.
And the comments that I hear from parents are consistent with what the research indicates, and that recess is good for kids in terms of academic development, behavior, and social and emotional development.
Michke did the research and says he's convinced that regular recess is good for kids. He's proposed that the school board consider a policy making recess available to all elementary students from pre-K through fifth grade. Not all Dallas schools offer daily recess. A district spokesman wasn't able to provide specific campus data. Michke has been told that sometimes students in the district don't go to recess as punishment. He thinks that's a bad idea.
I don't think it should be taken away for minor offenses, and it's probably not a good idea to take it away at all. Sometimes if you take away recess because of bad behavior in the classroom, it only makes the behavior worse rather than providing for an outlet.
Kathy Ramstetter runs a nonprofit in Ohio called Successful Healthy Children and consults with schools to create healthy learning environments. She co-authored the American Academy of Pediatrics policy on recess and says research shows that recess is important.
It's where they learn to practice those skills of conflict resolution, to practice making up rules, to practice rule following, to practice interpersonal relationships and communication with one another. So from a holistic socio-emotional development of the child, recess proved to be beneficial.
Ramstetter says the other benefit? Children coming back from recess are more focused and ready to learn. Trustees will discuss the issue Thursday during its board briefing, but a vote won't happen until January at the earliest. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
Today on Think, campaign finance and Congress. Lawrence Lessig ran a short-lived campaign for president this year and focused on ways to weed corruption out of the U.S. government. The Harvard Law professor told Chris Boyd that when he says corrupt, he doesn't mean criminal.
The kind of corruption they've got here is good people going, for the right reasons, into a system that forces them to behave in a way that makes them no longer responsive to their constituents, but instead responsive to this tiny fraction of funders. It's the system that corrupts them. Now, of course, I think they're responsible for it in the sense that they ought to rise up and fix the system, and they haven't done that. But they're not corrupt in the sense that we should think of them as criminals. And I do think that what we see as members as they spend time in Congress is that they increasingly become part of the system. You know, they go in as big reformers, imagining how they're going to change the whole system. But after two or three terms of spending 30% to 70% of their time raising money, it begins to be normal for them to think this is how representative government works. When, if you look at the history of our Congress, we have never had an institution that behaves anywhere close to the way this institution behaves. It just has never been the case that the number one job of Congress was to be fundraisers. But that's what it has become, and that's a measure of the corruption of the institution, not the measure of the venality of particular members of Congress.
Lawrence Lessig is the author of Republic Lost, The Corruption of Equality and the Steps to End It. Think re-airs tonight at 9. You can hear the podcast at kera.org/think. In a banner year of three new works from the Dallas Opera, the company this week launched a different kind of premiere, a week-long institute for women conductors. KERA's Bill Zeeble reports this school may be the only one of its kind in the world.
Jessica Gethin conducts a musical passage by Verdi. At the piano are two opera conductors, including another institute fellow. The Dallas Opera's music director, Emmanuel Villon, is giving the master class.
That sometimes your beat is leading you, because it's a very strong beat, in a tempo that I don't think you want.
Yeah.
So there are
Gethin is one of six fellows in the Dallas Opera's inaugural Institute for Women Conductors. She's already an accomplished professional, having led Western Australia's Perth Symphony since 2011. Now, the married mother of two wants to tackle opera and sees advantages to this female-only institute.
If you get on the podium in a masterclass with all males, before you even lay the baton down for the first beat, they've already pigeonholed you as the female conductor, whereas when we sit down here, it becomes more about the music and about the score. At least that's how I hope it's seen as.
Other fellows see that and more. Russian-born, Moscow-trained pianist Anna Skrileva has built a music career in Germany for the last 16 years. Through some of those years, she played piano during opera rehearsals and played here when Institute fellow Gethin was conducting.
It gives you a possibility to analyze the whole story of conducting from the other side.
This week, Skrileva's also learning about yet another side of opera, management.
In Europe, nobody teach us about how does it work to lead a company. And I'm sure to be a conductor, if you are trying to get in the position a music director, and this is also my dream, you need to know the business, how to manage.
Dallas Opera CEO Keith Cerny noticed for years a lack of women conductors or managers. He launched this institute to deepen the pool.
If you look at many fields that were historically dominated by men, accounting being one example, one of the arguments being made to try to advance women in that field was that, in a sense, we as a society were losing out on half of the talent pool. We should not be excluding whole sectors from that talent search.
In the institute's case, that search led to 106 applicants from 26 countries. Based mostly on resumes and some videos, Cerny, Villaume, and the Dallas Opera's principal guest conductor, Nicole Paimon, chose the six fellows and four observers, all of whom are professional musicians. Paimon wishes this kind of institute existed in her early years.
I've been very alone in my field. I don't know a lot of women conductors. And I think that's very lovely to have that way of sharing culturally and musically and artistically and developing a relationship that I think can help.
Another big help this week, says Villaume, the fellows are conducting professional musicians, including singers and an orchestra.
Time is orchestra is something very precious, very expensive, and you learn conducting by conducting. You have to do it again and again. So we are offering them real time with the orchestra and the possibility to then perform in a concert.
That concert caps off the week's session Saturday. Next year's institute, says Cerny, will last 2 weeks with a professional orchestra. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
On Friday, Bill will report on the Dallas Opera's onstage premiere this weekend. It's called Becoming Santa Claus. Find the details on our newly retooled website at artandseek.org. You can follow KERA News on Twitter or like us on Facebook. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.